One of the disadvantages of being a small church with no music is that you learn to sing songs in your way, at your speed. And if you can't see the piano, and if you're not standing up there singing, Debbie, then I get into a little bit of trouble sometimes, sorry. So, you've got your notice sheet. I should have said that I'm not Andrew King, but most of you know that. I'm Andrew Murray, from the church in Soho and Covent Garden. Andrew is away in Birmingham this week, this weekend, preaching at King's Heath Evangelical Church, Highbury, in Birmingham, with Barnaby and Rowe and the family and the church there. It'll be interesting to see when he comes back how they're getting on and to hear what's been happening there lately. But we ought to pray for Andrew. And Paul is preaching at the church in Kew, which some of us were at very recently, actually. A church that a few years ago didn't really have much prospect, very few members, a building, that was about it really, and it's been revived. The building's been refurbished, it looks great. The congregation has gone from sort of 4 or 5 to perhaps 30 or so, and it's really encouraging just to see the building. And Andrew's there speaking, Paul is there speaking to the folk there this morning. We ought to pray this morning for Sammy and Lisa and Patrick and Luca as they, don't know what time they were taking off, 11. So they should be half an hour into their flight to Hong Kong and a new life there for the next, well, a little while at least. We don't know how long. And we want to pray that the Lord will look after them. Through the week, well, if you can stay for lunch afterwards and you've bought something, if you haven't bought something, you probably get something to eat if you can stay, and then there'll be a discussion meeting. I think David's going to lead that at 2:30. Then there's 2 lots of prayer this week, in the evening, David and Denise is on Wednesday, and in the afternoon on Friday at Cindy's. So if you can get there, then that would be excellent. I was at a little church last Sunday, not far from here, and the elder was encouraging the small congregation. We won't go forwards if we don't pray together. And I think that's the truth that every church could take into account, couldn't it? We need to pray together, because whatever we do is useless unless the Lord blesses it. So if you can make either of those prayer meetings, please, please do that. Then services and fellowship meal and Lord's Supper and so on, as usual, next Sunday. What else have we got to say? I don't know if Andrew's done this, but we're supposed to be praying for our fellow churches in the central district of our Grace Baptist Association. We've tried to do that in Soho. The idea is that we get to know a little bit more about the churches that are nearest to us. Every week, Paul sends out a news sheet with some prayer points from one of the, well, nearly 60 churches in the association, and most of those are quite distant, and you don't know much about them. It's hard to pray. But the churches in our central area, so that's from us in Soho, Covent Garden in the south to North Finchley, across to St John's Wood and that way probably to Tottenham, there's a handful of churches and we want to pray for each other regularly. And David Wilson from North Finchley has asked us to pray there, encouraged that they've had some visitors coming in, they've got people wanting to join the church and perhaps one to be baptised. That's great, but they ask for prayer for wisdom about how they handle that, for the people who are already there to welcome those others, a little bit as we've been talking about, with open arms, and for to know exactly how to bring them into the church life and include them in what they do. So let's pray that that little church at North Finchley will grow under the Lord's blessing. We probably want to pray for our nation. It's been an interesting week in politics. We need to pray for Christians especially involved in politics to be salt and light. The situation is so chaotic, so confused. But God is God, and there are true believers, even in our parliament, believe it or not. And we ought to pray especially for them. And then in the international stage, well, did you know much about Venezuela before this week? Again, it's hard to know exactly what the rights and wrongs are and what's going on, but there are believers there. The country's nominally Christian, so the vast majority of people in Venezuela would call themselves Christian, But I guess, judging by figures in Operation World, maybe 10% would call themselves evangelical Christians. That means they believe the same, in theory, basic truths from the Bible that we believe. And probably a smaller number than that are true believers. And they have to live in much greater turmoil than we do. If you're a bit fussed about whether you can still get to Europe on March the 29th, that's not such a big deal as if you've got something to eat and some medicine to care for your child. That's the sort of thing that people in Venezuela are concerned about. So we ought to pray that God will overrule them. There's not much we can pray. We don't know what to pray, but the Lord does. And then just before we pray, we've got some visitors with us, nearly at the back row. There's a new back row now, but we've got Carl and Graham and John. I've got that right. From Australia, Carl's going to just come and tell us a little bit about what he's doing with them in the UK. And he's probably going to wave one of those.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
Well, good morning, church. Graham and I are a couple of foreigners from across the pond. We live in Perth in Western Australia, and we flew in on Thursday after a wonderful 17 and a half hours on the one flight, which meant I had rigor mortis about everything that I could call a human body. Now, I'm here at the moment to work with our partner organisation here in the UK called Good News. Some of you may or may not have heard of it. Anybody actually heard of Good News? Okay, that's a good reason why I'm here. And because we're just staying down the road here at the Highbury Centre, and I wanted to pass here during the week, so I thought it would be good to pop in, Andrew, and cause havoc, so it was good. The paper is designed and written for the non-Christian. So the purpose of why we produce what we do, we work in about 20-something different countries. We generate somewhere between 4.5 to 5 million papers annually at the moment. And the whole goal is to be able to help everybody here who warms a pew to be able to reach out. And the expression I like to use is gossip the gospel. The interesting thing that I find in a lot of our churches is that life is so busy. I was in the city in amongst your tubes, and I couldn't believe the frenetic pace. First, a lot slower, and so it took me a while to get used to it. But often with this busyness and so on, we lose sight of what's our purpose. Why we've come to know the Lord, how do we make a difference in someone else's life? And so we like to think, Andrew, of four ones. So everybody who warms a pew here this morning, the goal is four ones. One service a week, engage in one home group per week, be involved in one ministry, reach one person. So here this morning we have maybe 40 people, and we have 40 people looking to reach one person each, so it's another 40 people. And that's probably way more than a lot of churches do these days, because some churches can't remember the last time they saw a conversion. You talk about some of the churches where you're saying where we've had a revival happening, but for many churches, the main way they grow is transfer growth, not brand new growth. And there is a difference. And so the paper is all about sharing testimonies of how people come to know the Lord, have a sports page on the back for those who are either addicted or afflicted by sport, whatever you care to imagine. And in this case, invariably here, it's soccer. And I realise that's a very strong religion in this country, is our soccer, our your soccer. And I follow rugby more than that. And so the idea, of course, is to have gospel articles and a whole range of other stuff that you can read, and it gives you a starting point. I know we live in a digital age, it's available online, you can go and have a look online, but my experience is this, that for many people, when you talk to them about, I just go online, I don't know about yourselves, but I am literally overwhelmed with the digital world. I had a newsletter the other day that had 5 attachments to it. Now, if I have half a day to read that newsletter, no problems, I'll read it. But the reality is, when I talk to people, I say, how many of your emails do you actually delete? And people will say to me, most of them, because I simply don't have time to read them. So having something like this, where we can give them a hard copy of something, put it in their hand, take it home. I would love to hang out down at the Highbury Islington train station and just watch all the passing tribe go past and give out the papers as we go. But maybe this is something that you might think is Highbury Baptist. How do we go about reaching this area in which we're in? Now, statistics, I've been to New Zealand in recent times, and of course I've done a lot of work in Australia, and the statistics show that if you do a survey in your average area like this and inquire about how many people know that you actually are here, probably 90% of your community wouldn't even know you exist. simply because we've lost touch with our community. I was in New Zealand at a Presbyterian church, and I was speaking to a guy who actually from Canada, Mark Chapman's his name, and I was chatting to him about the idea of developing our presence and profile into a particular area in which we're working as a church. And he said, it's interesting you raise that. And I said, why? He said, well, we've just been doing an assessment and we realise we're not really cutting it. In other words, we're not really reaching our community. He was in a small town called Clevedon. And so they decided to do a survey of their town. They asked two main questions that I noticed, there were 16 in all. First question they asked is, do you know where your local Clevedon Presbyterian church is? And I rang him to get the answer. He said 95% had no idea we existed. And he said, think of it this way. We're in a town of 1,000 people. We're in the main street of Cleveland, and we're the largest building in town. Now, you'd think we'd be a shoo-in, wouldn't you? No. The second question they asked was, do you know of any of the things that we do as a local church in terms of reaching the community? 97% had no idea. He then comes back to his church, a little group like this, and begins to share his concerns. And some elderly gentleman right at the back of the church stands up. I suspect he had gravel for breakfast because he wasn't very happy. And just went, well, you know, I believe everybody knows who we are and everybody knows where we are. And Mark said, that may be what we believe, but the reality shows otherwise. And so part of what we do as Good News, as our papers challenge the Good News paper in Australia and beyond, is to be able to help people to develop the presence in the community and then a profile into a home of who you are, where you are, and what you do as a church that relates to this non-Christian community out here. Now, talking to Lena, she was saying it's a bit of New Age flavour and a few other flavours here. Well, we need to engage these people. And so something like this is a starting point to help everybody here who warms a pew to say, I can reach at least one person. And if everybody does that, then all of a sudden, when you put on a, let's say, a men's breakfast or a couple's dinner, we actually get non-Christians along to that. So we don't do what many churches do, spend a large amount of money, by and large, to speak to themselves. And I don't see the point of that. And it's very discouraging, I think. And so being able to think about how do we actually make a difference. And so when we do plan an event is part of the ongoing process that we have as a church of evangelism. And that's what Good News is all about. So I've got some copies here, a handful, and you can share one to a family. And also, if you want to chat, come and see Graham and myself. We'd love to chat with you afterwards and maybe encourage you in that. And then maybe arrange, if the pastor says yes, to get some regular copies of the Good News. Thank you so much. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Carl. Makes the pastor a bit like the bank managers, isn't it? Let's come to God in prayer. That's very challenging, isn't it? And it builds on some of the things that we here have been thinking about. We thank you, Lord, that you are a great God. We thank you that there is a great salvation to offer to people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've been challenged to think about that just these last few moments listening to Carl, we thank you so much for the way in which this church is concerned for the community around it, and yet we find ourselves agreeing that perhaps more often than we would like, people nearby are just not aware of who we are, where we are, what we believe. Lord, there are so many false ideas about Christians floating around. And who can dispel those ideas? Well, Lord, you choose to use us through the words we say, but through the lives we live too. And we pray that you would help us to do that. Thank you for Carl and for Graham and for the ministry they're part of. Thank you that there are so many Christians in all parts of the world seeking to share this wonderful gospel, the good news of Jesus. We pray that you would stir our hearts up to consider what we can do, each one, in our everyday lives, gossiping the gospel, being true to Jesus in all that we do. We pray for Andrew this morning as he preaches in Birmingham, for Paul at Kew. We ask that you would help them by your Spirit, but we pray more than that, that those who hear the word will be changed by it, just as we want to be changed here this morning. Lord, we remember too Sammy and Elisa and Patrick and Luca with perhaps some exciting prospects before them, but surely some nervousness, some apprehension. What will it be like in Hong Kong? How will they settle down? How will they make friends? Above all, perhaps, how will they find Christian fellowship? And we pray that you, their Father in heaven, will overrule in all of those things, that they might know your love and your care and your presence with them, that you might help them in every practical need, that you'll bless them with fellowship and enable them to be lights in that particular place. Lord, we think of brothers and sisters at North Finchley, for the little church there that has pressed on through some hard times. We thank you for David and his family as they lead that church. And we pray particularly for those who've come in recently, that the church would receive them well and welcome them, that they will be given wisdom about how to teach them and train them and disciple them, how to bring them in. Lord, we pray that that encouragement might lead to more as the church sees what you are able to do in the lives of individuals. And Lord, we pray for the wider world. Our nation is going through a troubled time. We hardly know where to turn. The political debate is so confused. And yet, Lord, you are God. We believe that you are working out your purposes for this nation, though which of us could say what those purposes are? We pray particularly for Christians in politics today, for those at the highest level who believe in Jesus, who trust him, and who are seeking to follow him. We pray that you would help them with honesty and openness and transparency and humility. Lord, what a contrast that would be to so many voices that we hear. Strengthen your people, we pray, and overrule for the good of the gospel. Lord, often we are caught up with our own well-being, our own ideas, our own principles. But Lord, we are sure that what you will do will be for the building up of your church. Help us to understand that. Help us to see, as time goes on, how that will come to be. And Lord, we pray for the nation of Venezuela today. Long way from us, not much known to us, but in the news, and the potential there for trouble is great. We pray especially for your people there. Again, Lord, we know little of the state of the church in that land, but we are sure there are many who do believe in Jesus, who trust him, and we ask that you would strengthen their faith, that they would not be afraid, that they wouldn't be caught up in the worldly attitudes and behaviour of so many people around them, whichever political side they are on. We pray they would be true to Jesus, and that they would find him to be their refuge, their comfort in a time of trouble. Lord, hear our prayers. You are the God of heaven. You know these things even before we ask them. We pray that you would teach us to look for your answers to our prayers. And as we come to your word in a few moments, we ask that you again, that you would speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.